The teaching grace. What is it? How does it work? How do you enhance it? What can hinder it? Those are the things we're going to look at this morning as we round off this teaching. Now, by now, you should know what Ephesians 4 says. But just in case, get your Bibles. If you come to Wednesday morning, you know you need your Bible when I'm here, okay? If you didn't know, it's a bit late now. But they'll put the scriptures up. They won't quite match mine because I'm working from the New King James when I was a lad. Long time ago. When I got born again, my dad was a King James man, okay? That was the Bible. None of this other stuff. And that was like way back when I was 10. So I was brought up on King James, which is great until you have to read in front of the church, which he had me to do one day. And he said, son, you always make trouble. Son, I want you to do this bit from Acts. And it talked about Judas having gone and someone taking his bishopric. I thought, what? I practiced that word for ages, but I got it. And all it means is his office or his job. I thought, why can you say that? So that's what the New King James does. It's replaced all the these and those, but kept the flow, which I like. So if you've got a different translation, bear with me. You have your translation. I've got this. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you read it. Amen. Don't just carry it. It shouldn't have dust on it, unless you've got lots of copies. But you need to understand what the word says. So I'm getting ahead of myself, because the one thing we need for this is the anointing. Yeah? Yeah? So we're going to stop now, and we're going to pray, and we're going to do that and get it sorted. It was that the slide that got me started. Let's just pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time that we can come around your word. I ask you for utterance in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, open the word to us. Give us ears to hear, eyes that see, hearts that are receptive, that we might understand more fully what your word shows us, that we might be more like Jesus. We ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I had a good amen then, because utterance is greatly affected by the hearers. If you can't be bothered, you will not get what God has got for you. I've prepared this message. I've prepared me. You need to come prepared. Prepared to listen, because God will give you answers even outside of what I share if you are tuned in. If you're not, you're wasting your time. It's a nice cup of tea at the end, but this bit in the middle is a bit of a waste. But the word works. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to feature up this side. It's better. I'm getting better amens over here. Your chance now, right? The word works. Amen. Thank you. It does anyway. Whether you say amen or not, it still works, right? It's true. And the song we were singing just now about the battle and the victory and the joy. The point is, if you wait until the battle to find out what the promise is, you're late. You need to be established and rooted and grounded now, because the battles are coming. You know if you realize that, right? It says, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. So don't be surprised. But you can be prepared ahead of time, because God speaks to you. He can speak to you every day. You think, oh, what's the number of the prophet you've got then? No, no, the Bible. The Bible is God speaking to you. And as I said on a Wednesday morning, take this personally. It is meant for you this morning. God speaks through his word if we will listen. When God spoke through the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, he says to each of the churches, he that has an ear, well, we've all got ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church or to the churches. So listen this morning for what God's got for you. Amen. So let's go now to this subject of the fivefold graces. These, what's it called? The teaching graces, equipping the saints. There they are. We're on the last one. So what is it that God's got for us this morning? Let's start in Ephesians chapter 4. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I can see you with these on, but I can't see my Bible. So I'm going to lose a bit of focus now while I do this, okay? So don't worry about it. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at the foundation scripture for this series. It is in here. Bear with it. This is a study Bible, and it's got lots of other bits in it, so it takes you a lot more turning pages than just an ordinary Bible with just a centre reference. But it's okay. Let's have a look. Ephesians chapter 4. He says, verse 7, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean also? But he first descended into the low parts of the earth. He who descends is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Notice verse 11. God, in this case Jesus, gave gifts to the church. He says there are some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And some people say, well, pastors, teachers, that's it. There's no teachers on their own. Well, you can look at one scripture, and if that's what you think it says, and you don't look at any other scriptures, you can build your own little doctrine, and it'll work. But there are other scriptures which go with this, also talking about the impartations that God has put in the church. And as we look at those, you'll see that pastor and teacher are two separate things. But I will also see later on that pastors need to be teachers, because you need teaching. Yeah? But if the only time you get taught is on a Sunday morning for half an hour, three quarters, whatever, it's going to take a long time. So there must be another way. There must be other ways as well. And Clive touched on it this morning over communion. Communion, we're teaching. Yeah, he talked about the apostles teaching. They continued in the apostles teaching. They do breaking bread, but they continued in the apostles teaching, or the apostles doctrine, mine says. Why? Because if it's pastor teacher, it tends to be stable in the church, because the pastor is the leader of the church. But there are also instances where the teacher is more of a traveling thing, where they go around. And we look at some scriptures to show what I'm talking about. So there are two other scripture portions we need to look at, talking about these grace giftings. They are easy to remember. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. So let's go now to 1 Corinthians 12 first. Think, well, 1 Corinthians 12, that's the gifts of the Spirit as well. So 1 Corinthians 12, let's have a look at it. What do I need? Pick it up in verse 12. He's teaching the church at Corinth, and he says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. And then he gives a description of different parts of the body arguing with each other. Verse 18. Notice verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. God set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. Now that's quite relevant to us at the moment. Adrian was sharing this morning about being mad, making a difference. We all have a part to play in the body, because that's what it says. There's no spare parts. And it says, God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Well, it's his church, so he can pick. He's allowed to. That's his choice. If they're all one member, where would the body be? Verse 20. But now indeed, there are many members, but one body. So there are three different strands to this. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The church local is the body of Christ, of which we are part. And there's the church universal, which we're all part of all over the world, in heaven and on earth, it says in Ephesians. Now he says in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. That's what I meant earlier by taking it personally. You need to find where you fit. You need to find your place, because there is a place for you. God made it for you. And he says, God appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Notice it's not tagged to pastors in this scripture. Teachers on its own. It says after there's miracles, there's gifts of healings, there's helps. Praise God for the helps. They take the offering. They make the tea. Well, that's not very spiritual. It's needed. They set things up. Somebody's running these PowerPoints for us. Week after week. Nobody sees them. The words don't magically happen. I mean, there was a time many years ago when technology was not quite as advanced as it is now, and I had the job of changing the acetate sheets on the OHP, and great merriment was had by all if I put it upside down. And it's not, it's easier than you think, yeah. Right? And they're all going, oh, bless. But that's where I started. It needed doing, and I was willing to have a go. I figured I could manage this, and I got the hang of it eventually. But helps is valid. Then it says, administrations. Oh, praise God for the administrators. They keep all the things running like they should. Varieties of tongues. These are all things God set in the church. They are different. But the one I want you to see is, teachers is in there on its own. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. It's because there are three portions of scripture talking about this grace impartations into the body. So Romans 12 tells us this. Romans chapter, verse 6. We'll have verse 5 because it won't be up there, but you've got your Bible in front of you. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You're all part, you're all valued, you're all valuable. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to faith. To ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. One translation says that the sick visitor should be happy. Nothing worse than a misery coming to see you if you're in hospital, okay? If you're not well. But there are different ministries there, but he says, we've got gifts differing according to the grace given to us. And what I want you to see this morning is, whatever it is you are called to do, God called you, he will equip you to do it. Amen. All you have to do is find out what it is. You find it out, and then you do it. So he says there, we've got gifts differing according to the grace given to us. And in the middle he says, he who teaches in teaching. So you use what it is God has given you to do. Now, that is the Holy Spirit working through you to others. Ministering, giving, leading, showing mercy, teaching, working through you. But there's another aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit working in you. Now, this is how you get the teaching when you're not in church. The teacher lives in you. But if you ignore him, you won't get taught. Because you have to recognize he's there and you have to talk to him. Not pray, you talk to him. And you say, Holy Spirit, help me now understand this. Open it. In the book of Ephesians, we won't look there, but in Ephesians, Paul prays for the church at Ephesus and he prays for them that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes, mine says understanding. In the Greek, it's cardia, which means heart or the inner man. You need revelation, not just information. Amen. And you get it from the revelator, the Holy Spirit. So in the Gospel of John, let's go to John 14, please. John 14. Verse 26. John 14:26. Jesus, no, in my Bible it's in red, which means this is Jesus speaking, okay? And he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Notice he's talking in the future tense. Because this is before Jesus went to Calvary. Before he died, was buried, rose again, ascended and seated at God's right hand. This is before that. So he's saying, this is what's going to happen. But the Spirit has come. The Spirit has come. And he lives in you. He lives in me. And one of his jobs is, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. Now, notice this next bit. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, I used to have this when I was as a teacher in school. I should have reminded the people in the Christian Union. That scripture does not mean you don't have to study for your exams. Because God will bring it to my remembrance. Yeah. But if you haven't studied it, it's got nothing to bring to remembrance. Which is why you need a systematic Bible reading plan, whichever one works for you. But you need to be systematic. God can speak to you because he knows where you're going to be in whichever verses and chapters. But you've got to be systematic because he says, I'll bring to remembrance all the things that I said to you. But what did Jesus say? What did God say? This is God's word. Which means it's the word of God. So this is God speaking. As I said earlier, this is God speaking to you. God speaking to me. Take it personally. Because this is your guidance. Because what you need to understand is that the Christian life runs contrary to the world system. It does. If you haven't figured that out yet, you can make a note of that. And the key is God is smarter than me. Yeah. Oh yeah, God is smarter. He knows how this system works. He had the people write it down. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gave us the word. This is what we need. You think, well, how do I do whatever? You go to the word, to the Bible, and you find out. If you don't know how, get someone to teach you. That's what teachers do. They teach you how to do it. First thing you need, good concordance. Or Google, whichever works for you. But you need to be able to find scriptures. Because, if you're making notes, this is a good one. To be scriptural, what do you need? Thank you. I knew Jackie would help me out on that one. To be scriptural, you need scriptures. You cannot get away with, well, I think. You can't even get away with, pastor said. You can't get away from this morning, well, Paul, me, not the Apostle Paul, Paul said this. You have to do original thinking for yourself. You've got to get into the Word and let it teach you and guide you and direct you. You say, but there's so much I don't know. To keep out of trouble, start with what you do know. Okay? This is an actual incident. Nothing to do with scripture. But an actual incident that happened. Many years ago, my daughter and her friend had just passed her driving test, so they went for a drive in Swansea and got lost. And her friend said to my daughter, well, we need to go back to Neath. That car, if a car went past, that car looks like it's going to Neath. We'll follow it. And my daughter said, no, let's call our friend. And they called their friend who lives in Swansea and knows Swansea. And the first thing he needed was, where are you? Because unless you know where you are, you can't move safely. You can't progress. And if regarding scripture, if there's lots you don't know, build from what you do know. Work from that forward. Step at a time. If you're taking steps, God-ordained steps, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, you're then going in the right direction. And here's a thought for you. If you pray for 5 minutes a day, and that's your limit, and you stay at that, next week you should be praying 5 minutes. If you increased it 1 minute a day, it's a maths test now, right? You can guess what subject I did in school, okay, right? If it's 5 minutes a day now, and you increase it by 1 minute a day, how many minutes will you be doing next week at this time? Yeah, brilliant. You can tell the people whose fathers made them do mental maths. The sisters over there. But that's it. But you won't increase unless you do a little bit more than you're doing. Yeah, that's not much. Yeah, you're doing 5, now you're doing 12. I read a little bit. Well, read a little bit more. Because you can't overdose on the Word of God, okay? You can't overdose on it. So he says there, he will teach you things to come. John chapter 16, just turn over. Jesus says something else about the Holy Spirit. He says, verse 13, however, now, it's a bit like a therefore, okay? You need to back up, it won't be on the screen, but I'll read you the bit that comes into this, okay? He says, in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. God won't overload you with stuff you can't handle, but he'll take you on. He says, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. And he indwells you and he will do that if you listen. So, we've got the Spirit working through us, the Spirit working in us. Turn, if you will, to 1 John, that little John by the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. Are we seeing clearly that God put teachers in the church? And then in John, it tells us this. This is how you keep out of trouble, okay? First John 2. We're going to have 26 and 27. He says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you." That's the Holy Spirit. "And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." That keeps you out of deception. The Holy Spirit guiding and directing you, teaching you. How do you stay sure? The Word and the Spirit go together. They agree. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 13. Here we see another aspect of Holy Spirit teaching, where he's working through, in this case, the apostles. And he says here, in verse 13, so 1 Corinthians 2, 13, "These things we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So do we need teachers? Yep, there they are working. "These things we speak, not in words of man's wisdom, not in human logic, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." So they're being taught by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. He says he's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You need to realize that you, the real you, is born again. You are a new creature in Christ, it says in Corinthians. "All things passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But you need to change your mind. You need to change your thinking, and it's the Word that does it. He says here, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, characteristics or things about the teachers. He says, let's go to Acts 10, 38. Acts 10, 38. I can quote these, but we're going to look at them, okay? Acts 10, 38. He says, Acts 10, 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." The first characteristic, because Jesus was a teacher, the first characteristic is anointed by God. That's why we stopped this morning before I got into full flow and asked the Holy Spirit to help. That's what makes the difference between people having a good talk and the Spirit of God ministering. That was Jesus. He was the Son of God. He laid that aside and operated as a man. So what he did, we can do. Because God will anoint us as he anointed Jesus. Because it says there, "How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So the anointing, the first characteristic, the first need is they are anointed. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3. We could develop each one of these as we go, and I'm just giving you the high points this morning to wrap up this teaching on teachers. So 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual people, but as unto carnal. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now..." Sorry, I'm in the wrong bit. I'm the beginning of the chapter. Bear with me. That's for later on. Let's get back to number 6. Verse 6. "I planted," says Paul, "Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So what you see there is they work in cooperation. The grace giftings are not competitive. What you bring to the body is not in competition with the rest of the body. Because your natural body works in harmony and it does its, what it's supposed to do. So the body of Christ. Paul says here, I planted, Apollos watered. So he likens teaching as to a watering of what's already been sown. As you know, in the parable of the sower sows the word. Look at Mark chapter 4, we won't turn there. But Mark chapter 4 says, the sower sows the word. So he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The results, the credit, goes not to the sower, not to the waterer, but to God who causes the increase. He says, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, this is not in the bit I gave the PowerPoints to, but later on in that chapter, if you read it, it talks about the fact that you will give account of what you've done with what God had for you to do. He says the works will be tested by fire. If it burns up, you get no reward. If it doesn't, you get the reward, but you're saved souls by fire. This is not a works for salvation, but because of salvation. You are part of the body, you were born into that family, and now you are to work and do, because God has a job for you to do. Find what it is, because you need to be working on it. So they work in cooperation with the other giftings. Now, we're going back now to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18. Acts 18. Acts 18, we're going to pick it up in verse 24. We're going to look at Apollos, who we just read about in Corinthians, and look what it says. Verse 24 of Acts 18. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. And from that verse, we see he was passionate about what he did. He was fervent in spirit. That's a quality of the grace in operation. He's fervent in spirit, and he taught accurately. Teachers need to be accurate. Details matter to teachers. Oh, yeah. If you're in school, it's close enough, doesn't fly. Not in the maths classroom, anyway. I can remember once, or many years ago, a gifted child, right? This child could do things in his head amazingly. And he misread the question. And I told him what the answer was, and his answer didn't match. And he said to me, well, if the question had said this, my answer would have been right. I said, yes, but he didn't say that. And he was trying to argue that he was right because he'd misread the question and got the wrong answer. I said, no, it don't work like that. So details are important. So he says here, he was taught accurately the things of the Lord, but he was limited because he only knew the baptism of John. If you keep on reading, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. A characteristic of Bible teachers, of anointed teachers, they are teachable. If you think someone knows it all, beware. Because wouldn't it be sad to think that you currently know all there is to know that you need to know about God? I mean, the more I go, I see things, I think, what? How could I not see that? And I've been saved since I was 10. I've been in church, this church, for most of my, quite a great part of my life. My dad was a Bible teacher, you know, he loved the word. I always remember this instance. I was preaching once, and I mentioned about heaven. And I said, Book of Revelation, the streets of heaven are paved with gold. Yeah? Yes? No? No. I got it wrong. So at the end of the service, my dad comes to me, son, no, that's always trouble, okay? Son, they're not paved with gold. They are made of gold. A little detail. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla did with Apollos. They taught in the... I never make that mistake again, okay? From that day to this, I have never made that mistake again. The streets of heaven are made of gold. But he said there, he taught in the way of God, they taught in the way of God more accurately. If you think you know it all, you can't progress from where you are because you got this nailed. But there's always more to learn. And I've heard preachers mention this. They're convinced, and I agree with them, that for the early part of entering into heaven, you are going to hear and say yourself, oh, as you get understanding of what you thought, but thought wrong. Oh. Oh. But he says there, the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. So they were Christians, and the teachers greatly helped them. They will be a help to you. So he was fervent in spirit, he taught accurately, and he was teachable. And he greatly helped them. Now, let's look at some hindrances. We're going to jump now because I've got a bit on Timothy, but I want to go to some hindrances to finish off this morning because of time. I think I've got 3 or 4 hindrances. Hindrances to teaching. Now, if we go to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says this. Paul giving advice to Timothy, who was a young pastor, who was also teaching. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? It's either football season or it's not. That's the whole year covered. It's either the cricket season or it's not. Here he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. So the pastor has teaching involved in his calling. He says, why do you need to do that? For the time will come when they, that's the people, will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will find out people who tell them what they want to hear, not what they need. If you come into church, what you get from pastor week in, week out, is what you need. And you might not have realized this. You need to be consistent. Now, there are situations and circumstances where you can't come. Well, praise God, we've got the stream. You can watch it live or you can watch a recording. But you need to stay with what the church is doing. Be involved in what the church is doing, because pastor will bring, week on week, the development of it. If there's five, and this is the first one you've got, go and watch the others. You need the fullness of it. And if you're part of this church, God is sending what you need through the ministry that comes through this pulpit. That's what he does. But he can bring you through the word if you're consistent. But it says here, they have itching ears and they don't want to hear the truth. He says, They, nobody else, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So that's the first thing, itching ears, not wanting the truth, because they don't want people who tell them the truth. They want people who will agree with them. The second thing which hinders is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. This is the bit we got earlier. 1 Corinthians 3 says, we're almost finished. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, talking to the church, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as unto carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you're not able to bear it, or not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. So what's causing the problem? Well, he tells us, for you are still carnal. You're still living out of your heads, not your hearts. He says, this is what I mean, for where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? My margin says, walking according to man. You're saved, but you're living like the world. You need to make a change. He says, one says, oh, I'm of Paul. Another, I'm of Apollos. He says, are you not carnal? He says, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? But only those, the ones whom you believed, and the Lord gave to each one. So the carnality will hinder your growth. Lastly, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrews 5, 11. As I say, you can study these out yourselves. You've got the scriptures. If you can't remember what they were, watch the stream. They'll be there for you. At the end of Hebrews 11, it says this. Sorry. Hebrews 5. Don't mind me. I'll catch up with you now. Hebrews 5. He says, talking about Melchizedek. Mel who? Melchizedek. If you don't read your Old Testament, you're going to go Mel who and think that Abraham is a service station on the M4. That's a Welsh joke. Only the Welsh people get that one, because we passed it on the way to Bluestones. Pont Abraham. And I was thinking, if it wasn't for the Old Testament, I'd think it was the name of a service station on the M4, but it's not. He says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. If your ears are dull, you have difficulty hearing what the word says. That's what he said in the book of Revelation. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Choice. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, teaching each other, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or mature, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, hindrance there, you become dull of hearing. So let's wrap this up. You need, and we've seen from these teaching on the graces, you need to find three things. You need to find what it is God's called you to do. You need to follow it. And you need to fulfill it. And that's what God has got you to do. And the body needs what you have to bring. It needs it. It's not about turning up. If you're in a situation where you need, you come and the body ministers to you. If you don't need, great. Contribute what you have got to that corporate anointing. Sing the songs. Get involved. Amen, says Adrian. Yep, yep, he said amen. It was quiet. It's off mic, but he's going, yep. Because it makes a difference to something called the corporate anointing. The collective effect of God in this place is affected by what you bring. If you leave it up to Adrian and the team, then there's so much they can do. But the more that come into this, then the greater the Spirit of God, the presence of God will be in this place. And God will do what he said he will do when we do what he says we should do. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you in the book of James, you told us, don't just hear it, do it. Help us rise to that challenge, that we might be part of the body and an effective part, that we might grow and develop together and give you a place where you might manifest your glory and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.